I haven't preached to a camera in quite a while. It feels pretty strange again, but at least this time, as opposed to when I was doing it for the collaborative presbytery services, I know to whom I'm preaching, and I can imagine all of your smiling faces on the other side of the camera. Of course, I much prefer being with you in person, but as you may have heard, in these moments that you are seeing this, Sarah and I are on our way to the airport, or at least we'd better be, where we'll be boarding a nonstop flight to Chicago. On Wednesday of last week, Sarah admitted that she could not get better by herself. She recognized that she needed help, and she made the decision to request admission to a treatment facility in Illinois. She'll be admitted there tomorrow morning, and I am so, so proud of her. And I'm so grateful for the ongoing and unwavering support and prayers that she and I and our entire family have received from all of you. Just as Sarah has realized that she can't do this by herself, I too know that I would not be able to do this by myself. And so thank you for walking alongside us as we have traveled along this road and as we continue to. To transition us back to today's gospel lesson, and I want to thank Bob for his willingness to try this online sermon inserted into the service. So thank you, Bob. To transition us back to today's gospel lesson, I'd like to share a poem. It's a poem that I saw somewhere years ago. I have no idea now where I first saw it, but I copied it down on a piece of Winnie the Pooh note paper. And I've carried it with me from place to place to place ever since then. This is what it says. I said to the person at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." That person said to me, "Go out into the darkness and place your hand in the hand of God. That will be to you better than a light and safer than a known way." That's beautiful, isn't it? And powerful, and not generally the way we think. That's not generally what we believe or what we think we want, even as people of faith, I dare say. When we are heading into the darkness, we want a light, just like anyone else. When we're stepping into the unknown, we want to be able to see where we're going and what lies ahead, just like everyone else. Because when we can see where we're going, when we can see what's coming, then we can be prepared. We will know what to do. We will know how to handle it. We will know what decisions we need to make, and we'll feel that we are in a place of comfort and safety and predictability and even strength. I kind of think that Peter, in today's passage, would get that, would feel similarly, and would agree. I feel like he would say, yes, all of that. In fact, that's what I was thinking when Jesus told me to put down my nets again, exactly. I've invited Peter to tell us more. So imagine me now putting on my Galilean fisherman's attire. So this is what Peter tells us. Okay, well, we've been fishing all night already, me and my buddies. And we're good fishermen. Well, you know, we're not the best, but we know what we're doing. This is our life. This is our family's life. We've been throwing nets into the water since our hands were big enough and strong enough to grip them. We all learned this from our fathers, who learned it from their fathers, who learned it from... Well, you get the idea. So like I said, we'd been fishing all night and no fish. I don't know why. Sometimes that happens. Not very often, thankfully, but once in a while. But that doesn't mean we just sat around all night and shot the just sat around and talked and didn't do anything. We still had to be up and moving and pulling up our nets and putting them down in other places, and checking them, and then moving the boat somewhere else and doing that all again and again. And those nets are heavy. Let me tell you, this is not work for wimps. I mean, sorry, but you got to be strong to work those nets. So anyway, we'd been out there all night, like I said, and we'd come back with nothing, not a single fish. And we were beat. We were worn out. We always are when we get back in the morning. It's good, honest work being a fisherman, but it's rough. It's exhausting. And of course, this was one of those times when it was really frustrating. Ugh, to work so hard, to do everything right, to do everything you know to do, to get nothing. It sucks. I mean, sorry, but sometimes things in life just really suck. So there it is. But anyway, we're back on shore taking care of the nets, untangling them, cleaning out the crap, pulling out the dead fish. So we hadn't gotten any live ones, but of course there were plenty of dead ones caught in the net. It's my least favorite part of being a fisherman, but you got to do it each day, because if you don't have good nets, you're not going to get any fish. Of course, we had good nets. We still didn't get any fish, but whatever. So Jesus, who we had all heard of course, it seemed like everyone had heard of him at that point. In fact, he'd been to my house. My wife's mom had been sick, really sick, bad fever. She'd been laid up for a few days. She really, really was sick. And we'd heard about Jesus healing people, lots of people. So when I saw him at the synagogue, I asked him if he'd come see her. I almost didn't. I mean, who am I to even talk to him, let alone ask him to come to my house? I'm just a fisherman. But I asked him anyway. My wife had begged me to, so I did. And he went, and he healed her. It was amazing. You should have seen it. He pretty much just said to the fever, get the hell out of her. I mean, well, those weren't exactly the words he used, but that's pretty much what he said. And it did. The fever left her, and she got up. And she was fine, healed. It was unbelievable. In fact, if I hadn't been there myself, I don't know if I would have believed it. But this thing of him telling me to drop my nets down again, after we had already spent all night out there and no fish, well, no live fish anyway. Really, Jesus? I mean, yes. He'd been healing people, amazing, and teaching people like no other rabbi. But, I mean, he was a carpenter before he started doing all of that, not a fisherman. I don't claim to know anything about making tables or chairs or ox carts. I can hardly pound a nail. And I sure as heck don't know anything about teaching or healing, but fishing? I know about fishing. I know a lot about fishing. Me and my buddies together know even more about fishing. And I knew that we had done all the right things that night and tried everything there was to try, everything we had ever been taught about the best ways to catch fish. And no fish. And like I said, we were exhausted and frustrated. And really, we all just wanted to go home and eat something and go to bed and not think about fishing. In fact, I was about ready to give it all up. I don't know what I thought I would do, but in that moment, I was kind of done. And then, right then, Jesus tells me to go back out with him. And then when he was done teaching, put down my nets. Again, Jesus, the carpenter. Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, the healer, but not Jesus, the fisherman. And so I said to him, and maybe I shouldn't have, but I couldn't help myself. That's actually a problem I have. I just kind of say whatever I'm thinking. My wife keeps telling me I need to work on that, but I am who I am, you know? So anyway, I said to Jesus, are you kidding me? We were out there all night. I swear there's no fish in the lake today. I don't want to try again. That'd be a total waste of time. Besides, the nets are already clean. I'm tired and I'm hungry. My muscles are aching. We already tried everything there is to try. And he just looked at me with those penetrating eyes that he has. And he waited until I was done giving all of my excuses. And then he waited some more, still just looking at me. And there was something about his look. It was like he was looking into my soul. And there was something about the way he waited. It was almost like time was standing still. And I don't really know what happened next. I can't even explain it. But I suddenly knew I had to say, okay. So I took a deep breath and I looked him in the eyes and I said, okay, if you say so, Jesus, who knows nothing about fishing, if you say so, I'll put my nets down again. And in that moment, when I said, okay, there was this flood of calm and peace and strength deep inside me. It was like nothing I'd ever felt before. It was like in that moment when I said, okay, if you say so, I was letting go of everything I thought I knew and letting Jesus know for me. I don't know if that even makes any sense, but it was like when I said, okay, and then released my grip on those nets and let them drop into the water, I was releasing my grip on everything that I had learned was right. Everything that I'd been taught I needed to do. Everything I had grown up understanding as the best way to fish. And I was letting Jesus teach me. In that moment of letting go of those nets, which had been my lifeline up until that moment, somehow I let go of my need to know and predict and manage and control and understand. And instead I trusted Jesus, the not fisherman, to teach me, to guide me, to show me. And well, you know the rest. It was amazing. Just like when he healed my mother-in-law, almost unbelievable. Like I said before, if I hadn't been there myself on that boat, I don't know if I would have believed it. But I was there, and I did believe, and I do believe. And my life has not been the same since. I still keep saying things I shouldn't. That hasn't changed. But I keep trying to let Jesus, the not fisherman, teach me how to fish. Except now, of course, we're fishing for people. But I try to let him teach me instead of relying on everything I had learned before. I keep trying to let Jesus guide me instead of relying on what I thought I knew before. I keep trying to let Jesus show me how to live, really live, instead of trying so hard to manage and control and understand like I did before, because it's better this way. It's not easier. It's not more comfortable. It's not more predictable, but it's better, richer, fuller. It's like you said in your poem, I keep trying to put my hand in the hand of God, because that is better than a light. But what do I know? I'm just a fisherman. So now I'm taking off my first century Galilean fisherman attire, and it's back to me, Deb. And I'm going to close by reading the poem that I started with once more. I said to the person at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. That person said to me, go out into the darkness and place your hand in the hand of God. That will be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. So when we're exhausted from working so hard, for so long. And when we're discouraged by the lack of results, and when we're unsettled by the unknown and desperate for a light that will show us the way in the darkness, my prayer is that we may listen for the invitation from Jesus to let go of what we think we know, to look beyond what we have known, to try, to be open to what seems unbelievable. And in all of that, to place our hand in the hand of God and to walk forward with courage and peace and strength into life in all of its messy and uncomfortable and unpredictable beauty and glory. Amen. And I am going to read two verses from today's gospel passage from the Message. This is verses 4 and 5 from chapter 5 of Luke. And then I will sign off and invite you to enjoy a few moments for your own reflections and your own listening on what God might be saying to you. When he finished teaching, Jesus said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we have been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." Amen.